Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
What's up, Roger? Roddy, still with me? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Making sure.
Get this
like,
party started.
Yeah. Woo! Welcome, America. You are officially talking sports with 12th Man, and I got to make a huge, huge apology to JQ. JQ, you with us, sir?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
I timed that just perfect. You didn't miss anything, literally. The intro just ended, sir,
okay.
But we'll always have to give you a play that, man. So I appreciate that. I'll do a better job as far as timing that because whenever I leave my trivia, America, I always have like a small window to get set up and kind of get settled. So I appreciate
I
JQ
America.
Always being
I
there.
Asked
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
I asked
you did,
America,
I did.
Do you want me to
did,
set it up and
I
get
did.
It going for you? See how you doing me?
I did.
No face.
I will ever do that. I will ever do that with like
he's a ball hog, Jay. He's a ball hog, JQ.
I am.
You
know what?
I was trying.
Well, you know, and the thing is, I'll probably say within 15 minutes, I'll have a 15-minute window because, like I said, whenever I left, I was like, man, I can make it there, and then I had a little traffic, so I got a little nervous, but, you know, I apologize. Anyway, I digress.
It's all good,
of course, man. Welcome. Yeah, I know. I appreciate that, but I'll do a better job as far as giving you a heads up. I'm not gonna like, you know, wait like 8 minutes or something crazy like that again. But anyway, America, welcome. Of course, today is April the 18th. We were officially talking sports 12th man. Gentlemen, I'm actually happy that we can start the show tonight versus waiting two more days. A lot of things to talk about. Let's kick it really quickly to my co-host. Got to check in. JQ, how you feeling the first and foremost this evening, sir?
Man, I was like a court stenographer over here, man. I was clicking and typing and pointing and choosing. I was like, oh, I got it. Oh, the host has already joined the show. I'm here, man. How you doing?
I'm here, man. Sorry to make that like
put
I said,
a Gary Payton steal on you.
I did. Not on purpose. Robert Ford, how you feel this evening? And we'll talk more. I'll give you some more talk time. How about that, JQ? I'll let you expand. I could cut you off, man. Robert Ford, how you feel this evening, sir?
doing awesome. Awesome.
All right, let's kick the show off. First and foremost, we always like to call the number that JQ called in. 424-243-9519. That is our number, as always. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Look us up on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports, or Talking Sports 12th, and you will find us as well. All right, gentlemen, we got a lot of topics to discuss. Let's kick this off as we always do. I definitely want to recap the NBA playoffs and predictions. But before we do so, I'd kind of like to take a step back, guys. I want to talk about that epic night. A lot of love going to show to JQ here and Kobe. Just kind of a great moment to kind of see last Tuesday. We had a couple things happening. I know you guys are probably flipping back and forth seeing Steph Curry kind of doing that thing, hitting the, you know, his record as far as three-pointers, and then Kobe scoring 60 points, man. You talk about kind of a perfect kind of night as far as Kobe kind of going off. And that's kind of how you end it, man. I think he was the only player in history kind of to end his night with 60 points at that. So, JQ, you want to talk about that night for Kobe and kind of your thoughts as far as what was happening for that special moment, sir?
Oh, man, listen, I had to leave the house. I was going to watch it in the house, and one of my homeboys hit me up and said, man, we got to get out and watch the Warriors and the Lakers, so we'll have to flip through channels. I said, I'm with you. So I paid for it that Thursday morning because, of course, I had a ball watching both of those games, and I was out there in my Seattle supersonic colored Lakers Kobe Bryant jersey. I picked it up in Seattle, and I had to get it. I was like, I ain't never seen a Lakers jersey in the sprite color, so I had to go ahead and get it.
I wonder why I was looking so green.
Yeah.
I thought your camera was a little off.
No, it's green and yellow. It's green and yellow. I got it in Seattle, so it's the supersonic colors, but a Lakers jersey. But, you know, the way that he went out, like you said, yeah, I know it took you 50 shots, but, you know, he's 58, so I'm going to give him his 50 shots to get 60 points. But just the way that, you know, the way that the crowd was into that and then him to take over the way he did, I think they were down 9 in the fourth quarter to bring him back. Just like you said, there's no better way to really go out outside of the championship, but that was the championship for Lakers fans and as Kobe fans. That was just the perfect send-off. But I don't want to be remiss in not talking about the Warriors, because 73 wins is 73 wins, right? You break that hollow Bulls record, so I want to make sure I give them all the credit in the world. They played a depleted Grizzlies team, but still, to get to 73 wins is amazing. But yeah, I was ecstatic. You know, I'm trying to get myself back in the playoff mode, because as a Laker fan, that was almost like the climax for me this year, because we're not going to do anything else. So 60 points on 50 shots and the win in the last game was just a fabulous way to see him go out. I couldn't have been happier. You know, people were just in the bar clapping and cheering for him every time the shot went in. People that I knew that was Laker haters and Kobe haters were still wanting to see him go out on top. And that gives, you know, it speaks to the amount of respect that he's earned in his 20 years.
Robert Ford.
Yeah, obviously it was a great night for the NBA that night. And you can easily make a case that Kobe outshined the Golden State Warriors night of clinching the 7-3 wins and most regular season wins in NBA history. And obviously, for most of Kobe's career, I've been a hater of him and the Lakers. Still kind of am as well.
God.
So I don't know if that's going to change, but you know, he took 50 shots, but you know, he got his 60 points. It was exciting. And it was exciting to watch. And I knew I was flying back to New Orleans that night, and I caught the end of the game. Can't remember where I was flying from. But I caught the end of the game.
Wow.
And the Warriors 73 victory. So it was an exciting time, you know, for the NBA, seeing those two things happen on the same night. But if you're the Warriors, you got to be like, man, this guy just upstaged us, winning 73 games.
Yeah. He did. You know what's even sorry, Dre, just one last piece of that is that the amount of respect that he has is that night the Rams and the Titans had already consummated that trade for the first pick in the draft, and they waited till Thursday morning to announce it so they didn't upstage Kobe. Not the Warriors, that upstage Kobe, you know, being the new guys in town in L.A., which I give the Rams a lot of respect for doing. But like you said, he upstaged probably one of the biggest trades in NFL draft history, and the Warriors going for 73 points. What more can you say about it? 73 wins, I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah, I'll concur. And like I said, JQ, I got to be honest, I'm kind of like Rob. I'm not a huge Laker fan. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying I'm a Kobe hater, you know, but, you know, I respect the game, obviously.
Yes,
like
you are.
Said. We have – no, let me backtrace this, because the thing is, I respect it. I saw the his little about his life, Kobe's muse, and I thought that was pretty interesting, because you don't know enough about him, and that's kind of why he's kind of like – reclusive, because that's how he was born. You know, he's always, you know, been in, you know, different countries, and kind of how he was raised kind of brought some understanding to him as a person. We do have a fan that just loves Kobe like he's like the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's what kind of like makes me
that's
like, dude, you know, seriously. Right. But for the game, it was a good moment. Like we talked about, it was classic. It was epic. So give Kobe his due. As Robert said, he had to get 50 shots to do it. But it was the night because and he was
hey, –
I
hey,
love
hey,
Kobe's
hey.
Comments. Hold on. I like Kobe's comments. He even said this was the one night where he's like everyone, you know, I was in the pass ball, like don't pass it. Everyone's telling him to shoot it. So he did what he was supposed to do. He got 60 points. Everyone is history. You know, so that was a good moment, like I said, for the NBA. It was great. Now the second piece, not to diminish – I appreciate you not diminishing what happened with Steph Curry. That was an epic moment too. Not only did Steph hit the, you know, three-point record, and also – the Warriors kind of hitting that exclusive mark as well. So, Robert, you nailed it right on the head. It was an epic night. We'll talk about the Rams trade a little bit later on, too, in the show. But just a great night for the NBA, and we're just happy to kind of see how it culminated in that fashion, too, guys. So, just what a great moment, to say the least, too. So, anyway.
And a lot of respect. You mentioned the Rams trade. I'll just say something briefly about that. They actually finalized that trade on Wednesday. Out of respect to Kobe Bryant, they waited to Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
To officially announce it. I thought that was pretty classy. Even though I'm not a Laker fan, a Kobe fan, but I thought that was pretty classy by the Rams.
Very classy.
Yeah, the reason why, you know, we're not crying for you guys, Lakers, because you guys got enough championships, man. So, whatever. That's kind of like, you know, let us have one, man. That's all I'm saying, man. You know, so, you know, that's
well,
why
we're
you crying
for the hate.
For
that's okay.
And they should have changed the name when they moved from Minneapolis years ago, but that's another story.
It's not hate. It's not hate. It's just like, you know, you guys got like six something championships, whatever. Whatever, you know?
What you talking about?
And that's not hate. That's the fact, you know?
New Orleans just changed their names to the Pelicans. What, come on. Okay, go for it. I'm not going to listen to Robin. His bias.
They should have changed their name back in the 50s when they moved to Los Angeles. We moved from Minneapolis, the land of many lakes. Come on, Los Angeles don't have no lakes.
Y'all been to the Pelicans for like a year and a half.
Just like the Memphis don't have no Grizzlies.
That's pretty good. That was pretty good. I'll give you that one. Bro, I was on fire, man. All right. We're gonna have to do a like nice little like clip about that. So let's talk about the playoffs, gentlemen. I know it's so much to get to, guys. Let's talk about the playoffs really quickly. I know we got to recap a couple of things that happened. Just getting started here. I'm happy that you know my Hawks won. You know JQ is talking a lot of junk, but we got one. Woohoo!
Yeah, Bob, a hot point.
Yeah.
I know, man.
Yeah,
I know,
a win
man.
Is a win.
It's a win.
Yeah,
it's a win,
right.
Man. I know. And Avery Bradley's out too, man. Avery Bradley's out too. That's another guarantee.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But no. Definitely, you know, we'll talk about that. I'll kick it to Rob too because now Steph Curry is out. His ankle has caused some challenges. This could actually be a huge blow to the Warriors. So, Rob, I'll let you kind of kick it off. Talk about a quick recap of the playoffs and go to his prediction. Jakey, you're going to follow after that. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay.
Well, the Warriors, just to give an update on that game, they're up by 7 as we speak over the Rockets. I think they can still win without Steph Curry at home tonight. You don't win 73 games by being a one-man band, although they definitely cannot win a championship without Steph Curry. I'll just say that. And but I don't think it's going to be too serious. I think he'll be back either for Game 3 or Game 4. But I think they can hold serve at home tonight and still go up 2-0 over Houston without Steph Curry. And, you know, the intriguing matchup, and obviously Dallas did beat OKC tonight to tie that series. I still like OKC to win that series. And the intriguing matchup in these playoffs to me is going to be in the second round, OKC and the Spurs. I think the Spurs are the better team, but I think OKC matches up well with them for whatever reason. And that could be a very intriguing series to me. In the second round. And you got to like the way Cleveland played against Detroit. And in Cleveland, yeah, you got to like the way their big three played in that game as well. You just wonder if they're going to get some additional support. If they big three can continue to play like that throughout the playoffs and their role players step up, they possibly could have a chance in the finals. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see if that's something that they can keep up going forward. And as far as predictions, Eastern Conference, I'm going to go Cleveland, Miami in the conference finals.
Mm.
And I think this Miami team is pretty scary, too. And I like the way they spread the floor, Dwayne Wade, Lou Alden, and Goran Dragic. I like the way the three of them spread the floor over Whiteside and the inside. They could be a scary team going forward. I like them as a 3 seed to go to the Eastern Conference finals. I still like Cleveland. And although I think Miami could give them a 6-7-game series. And then the West, of course, as long as Curry is healthy, I got to go still with Golden State winning it all.
What'd you say,
and
Rob?
Congratulations with the win by the Hawks.
Yeah.
What'd you say,
yeah,
what'd you say, Rob?
I agree with all of that. He took a little bit of what I was going to say. Miami is very dangerous, and I think it's just the karma of it, of him leaving Miami and leaving Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh going down, but Miami still having enough to get there. I think it's all set for them to play in the Eastern Conference Finals. I still like Cleveland, but in six or seven games, it's not going to be no 4 or 5 games. And outside of the Warriors, yeah, look here. They can win both games in Golden State without Curry. They can win one in Houston, which is all they need, and then get that fifth game back in Golden State. I don't think Houston, they just are an implosion. Even though they have so much talent on that team, you just got too many knuckleheads together. And also, I agree with you on the Thunder and the Spurs, but if you get Blake rounding in the shape and let him play that five spot and go heads up with Draymond Green and they don't like each other anyway as a team, that 1-4 with the Clippers and the Warriors is going to be exciting as well. The Western Conference semifinals and the finals are going to be must-see TV. I think that's going to be just awesome basketball if you love basketball and not just bang and go ISO kind of basketball, just free-flowing, good movement kind of offensive basketball. I think that's going to be good if you like it. And I agree. I still think the Warriors have it. Unless Stephen Curry's ankle is really jacked up, which I don't think so, and I think they can really rest him for almost most of the series against Houston, I still think Golden State wins, no matter who they play.
Yeah. You know, interesting you brought up the Warriors-Clippers. It's as good as the Clippers rosters can look at times, they just don't seem to match up well with the Warriors. And, I mean, the Warriors swept them this season. And so be real, I hope you're right, because I would like to see the Clippers play them tough in the playoffs. But they just do not seem to match up well with them. Hopefully they're motivated and come out to compete against the Warriors.
And that's the thing. They're going to be motivated. Those are two teams that don't like each other, like for real don't like each other. It's not about, you know, we trying to get to the same goal, yada, yada, yada. They don't like each other, man on man. I don't like you, dude. We ain't going club and we ain't friends. You know, if I see it's an all-star game, I might try to pretend for the camera a little bit, but not really. Like, they don't like each other, and that's why I'm more intrigued about it, too. But you saw the Clippers do that with Blake Griffin as a five spot against the Trailblazers the other night, and they destroyed Portland. And that's how they're going to have to play against the Warriors. I'm not saying they're going to destroy the Warriors like they did the Blazers, but that lineup with Blake at the five, when Golden State goes to that depth lineup with Draymond at the five, I just think that's going to be fascinating to watch. I don't think the Clippers are going to win, but I just think it's going to be good theater.
Good calls. Much as I hate to admit it, good points. And the NBA and the Conspiracy League, they got to have a better matchup with Miami and Cleveland, so I can see that actually happening because they want to get the most viewership. So I can see that happening as well.
Conspiracy.
So, you know, there you go. It is a conspiracy. Ever since the Knicks got that pick, man, come on, man. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna keep it real. Yep.
You going back to the
frozen envelope
somewhere?
Come on,
man. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
That's the
when
truth.
Keeping it real goes wrong.
Where's Keyshawn? We need it. Come on, man.
I'm gonna keep it real, man. But it makes sense, man. I mean, they're gonna want the best matchup. They're gonna want to see Cleveland. They're gonna want to see Miami. So I can totally see that happening. So whatever. So good call.
Wow.
I agree with that as well with, you know, with the Warriors. So, yeah, they're going to I think they can definitely do some things without Steph Curry. But like you said, I agree with Rob that championship may be more challenging without Steph Curry this time.
Yes.
But we'll see. So speaking of this, so we're not going to spend too much time on that. Let's talk about the 96 Bulls versus the 2016 Warriors. Rob, what are you saying, Rob? Are you saying that what team are you picking, or what do you mean whenever you're making this assessment here?
Yes, who will win? Best of seven series. What team wins? I would have to I'm still going to go with the old school Bulls. And I know the Warriors won up them on a regular season. But to me, it's just hard to bet against Michael Jordan. And, you know, I just think defensively, I think they would get it done. And I think Phil Jackson, coaching style, I think they would just get it done. As Warriors team is scary, especially the way they shoot the three ball. And I've seen Curry, and I know Scottie Pippen made the comment that he would shut Steph Curry down, but I've seen Curry get shots off of Anthony Davis. I've seen him get shots off of guys with great length. He's got a quick release. He can get the shot off quickly. But I think in the seven-game series, I would say 6 or 7, but until this Warriors team put together multiple championships, I would still have to go with the Bulls.
JQ?
I agree, and I agree about the same time span. And what people are missing the point on what Scottie Pippen is saying, he's right, but they are such good defenders that they're going to pick him up closer to to half court. And you're forgetting about Harper, who was also an elite defender at that time. You got Harper, Pippen, and Jordan.
And Jordan.
That can rotate. And you don't have to have Scottie Pippen on Curry the whole game. You can switch off with Jordan and Pippen on Curry and let the other one guard Clay. And then you've got Dennis Rodman, who's the perfect foil to get down in the post with Draymond Green. I think they match up really, really, really well with that Golden State team and how they would want to play. You wouldn't see a whole lot of Winnington in that series, you know. And don't forget about, you know, Horace Grant, too. I mean, I gotta go with the Bulls. I think they match up.
Well, Horace Grant wasn't on the 96 team, though.
Was it Kukoc?
Yeah, it was Kukoc, Luke Longley, yeah, and okay. that bunch.
Okay, so you got Kukoc to be the stretch four, though. And you, mm-hmm. and Luke Longley probably won't play because Dennis Rodman's going to have to play whenever Draymond's playing. That's the only way it would match up. You play Longley on Bogut. I think they match up really, really well with Golden State, and I think they will win.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's look at their
roster. How about Steve Kerr would be playing for the Bulls and coaching the Warriors? How about that?
Yeah, I know right now.
He'd have to be tripped out. You had some issues. You had Randy Brown, Jed Blicher, Jason Caffrey, James Edwards, Haley, Harper, Kukoc, Kerr, Longley, Pippen, Rodman, John Sally, Dickie Simpkins, and Bill Weddington. That was a squad. So I think, like we talked about, and let's talk about the actual style. I think the NBA was a different style of game back then than it is now. I mean, they allowed more hand-checking, a couple things that were a little more physical play that were allowed. So I don't think that Steph would be getting off his shots anyway. And I agree with you guys that you pick him up the half court, Ron Harper, you get a dose of Ron Harper one game. Next thing you get like a dose of Scottie Pippen. Who knows, man? You may even get Tony Kukoc. Everyone throw, you get like different looks every single game too. So I think that's why wholeheartedly I think that the Warriors, they wouldn't be having these wide open shots, man, a couple of times. I think that you put in John Sally to kind of like bully his way and just kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. out physical a couple of people too. So they would be like psychologically more, you know, they've been through the wars with the Pistons and the Lakers and the Celtics. So I think they would definitely out physical the Warriors. And I don't think the Warriors have seen that yet too, man. So that's why we got to give the edge to the 96 Bulls. Not taking anything away from what the Warriors have done, obviously, but I think it's a different style of game now versus then too. If Jordan didn't have, you know, the hand checking, he'd probably score like 70 points a night, man. I'm telling you, it's a different game, you know. So that's just kind of my assessment on that. Do you have anything else to say about that, guys, or what?
I agree with that.
Yep, I think we all hit it on the nose.
Yep.
Now, I still like respect because I'm going to become a Warriors fan. I'm all in. The wife's a Warriors fan, so I'm all in. I got a winning team, so I'm all Warriors, man. So, you know, if you see me with a Warriors jersey,
come
don't talk junk, man.
Your
that's,
team
that's okay,
is
man.
In the
bandwagon
playoffs.
Fan.
What kind of statement is that when your team is in the playoffs?
My team is in the playoffs.
Your team is.
I told you straight up.
In the playoffs.
What?
You can't root for another team when your team is in the playoffs. Like,
I
got to be an extra Warriors jersey. No, man, I got a Van Exel Warriors jersey. My team ain't in the playoffs.
Nah,
I'm going to rock my Van Exel Warriors jersey. Your Hawks are still in the playoffs. You can't root for
the
Warriors. Come on.
My wife is a Warriors fan, man. Come on, man. Yep.
You can't
root
for the Warriors.
I'm
Rob, please.
I'm rooting for him, man.
I know. He needs help, JQ. Pray for him.
Come on, man.
Give me the top five teams right now in the NBA playoffs, guys. Warriors.
I'm gonna make my real simple because I know we've gone through some of the topics a little longer. I'm going with the top four in the West, and I'm going with the Cavaliers with my five in no particular order, but those are my five.
Well, that's my five too. I'll go ahead and give you my order too. Say one Warriors, two Spurs, three Cavs, four Thunder, five Clippers. So I agree with the same five.
I can go with that.
Yep, sweet. 6 minutes, guys. All right. I know we're going to talk about some football here. We're going to switch gears. But, guys, we do have to talk about that trade. Rob, did you want to save this kind of towards the mock draft, if you will, or you want to kind of set that up, or how did you want to do that, too? Because we got to talk about that huge trade that kind of interrupted last week, too. Is that what your thought process was for this, sir?
Oh, well, now or then, doesn't matter. But since we brought it up,
let's
talk about it
now. All right, cool. I just didn't know because I don't know if you want to set that up for the mock draft because of what happened, you know, with the Rams. This is going to totally change a lot of not only mock drafts but a lot of things that have happened because I'm sure that if you were like a couple of teams like the Eagles, the 49ers, possibly the Cowboys, yeah, you probably think, oh, maybe I have a shot now to get a quarterback. But now – this bold move by the Rams has totally shaken up what's been happening in the draft. So two things could happen, and I love the comment that Jalen Ramsey said, oh, I can't believe that the – what did he say? That the Rams love me
that much. The Rams love me that much. That was funny.
Yeah. So we know that right now, whatever the Rams are doing, they are definitely targeting quarterbacks. So whatever quarterback is going to get targeted, this is going to cause a domino effect with the Browns because now you're hearing rumors that – that somebody thinking about trading up. The Browns are thinking about making a trade right now. That pick is open for sale. To who, we've heard a couple rumors about this, but this has totally changed everything that's happening right now. So I know, JQ, we're going to get you on this. We're going to let Rob kind of end it up. But, JQ, right now the Rams are at the precipice. They are new stadium in L.A. This is a perfect opportunity for them to kind of put a signature quarterback to them right now. Case Keenum is not the answer. The floor is yours, sir.
No, and neither is Nick Foles. Don't forget about Nick Foles on the roster.
You're
absolutely right. I keep hearing conflicting reports that, you know, I think that Pep Hamilton likes golf, but other people in the building like Wentz. But I think the biggest winner of this trade, you touched on it, is the Cleveland Browns, because you know LA is going to pick one of the quarterbacks. So now you sent everybody that was hoping, like you said, the quarterback would fall to them. They left scrambling, and that second pick is so much more attractive now. Because, we got RG3, but nobody really knows about him. So we could take a quarterback unless you want to trade with us to get the other quarterback, whoever L.A. doesn't choose. So it puts Cleveland in a great spot, and it helps everybody else down the line as well. Jalen Ramsey has got to stop that molly, because I don't know what he's talking about. He's no better than third at this point. I mean, just stop it. But, you know, you're going to get a lot of those defensive players also start to fall back a little bit. Some of those wide receivers are going to start to fall back a little bit because the quarterbacks are going to go, and you're going to create that frenzy at the top of the draft. You know, the offensive line that we've talked about before, and Tunsil and Conklin are going to be up there as well. It's going to knock Bosa down a little bit. It's going to knock Ramsey down a little bit. But the biggest one to me is the Cleveland Browns. It's not often you can say that, but they just put the second pick. Just got so much more of a higher value than they did before.
Shout out to my cousin Mario. He's a huge Cleveland Brown fan, so a lot of love for you. So, Rob,
sorry to hear that, Mario.
I know, right?
He's diehard too. So he writes some good stuff. So, Rob, you got
Good for him to be loyal, but still, sorry to hear he's a Browns fan.
Don't talk about my cousin. Don't talk about my family, bro. You got 2 minutes. I want you to set up the OC, but I do want you to kind of briefly talk about this too, because I want to give you enough time to get into this comment too. So. Really quickly, before do the OT, and then we'll jump into that as well, because I want you to talk about, for Cleveland, this move. Is there a franchise quarterback? They've made all these mistakes by trading picks and whatever. Do they stay pat, get their guy? Is RG3 the answer, or is RG3, if they go to quarterback, is it just kind of a replication of what happened with the Redskins? Because Redskins, they got RG3, and they got the quarterback, and it just causes dissension amongst the ranks. So, JQ nailed on the head, but Rob, set up the OT portion, and then we'll go right into your comments about this move that the Rams are doing. And is there a franchise quarterback, too, is a question, too, because I can't believe they traded all them picks for a guy, but clearly they think he's the guy. So there you go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everyone tuning in to tonight's show. We'll be back on again next Monday night. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. It's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaii time on next Monday night. For our good friends and our listeners in Germany, that's going to be Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. We're going to get you set for the draft again next week, recapping the NBA playoffs. So we have a lot to talk about on next week's show. You don't want to miss it. Next week, you may want to check our Facebook page. I have my full 7-round mock draft right before the draft.
Woo!
7 rounds, people. You don't want to miss that on our Facebook page. Full 7-round mock draft, people. We're getting ready to go to the OT portion. Of course, we can't give you this portion live, so you want to click on this same link on tomorrow. Finish listening to our draft coverage, our NFL coverage. We got a lot to talk about still, so make sure you take a listen to this on tomorrow. We may have some info for what your team might be doing in the draft. Good night, people.
JQ?
Hey, man. The story I read about Michael Jordan singing Anita Baker giving him the best that I got when he was out there dropping 40 on him was the best story I've read all day. Go out to Bleacher Report and read that article. It was pretty good. Good night, good people.
Rob, floor is yours, my friend. I love it.
Well, I'll respond to your comment in regards to RG3. I think if you're the Cleveland Browns, you cannot be convinced that RG3 is going to be your answer at quarterback. If he turns out to be your answer at quarterback, then as people in New Orleans say, that's lanyap, or that's gravy, as people in the rest of the country would say.
And so I think if you're the Cleveland Browns, you have to approach this situation. And my personal opinion, Wentz and Goff are very close when you look at grading these quarterbacks. And so I think if you're looking at this draft here, I think they're the two clear-cut best QBs in this draft. I think there's a big drop-off after those two. So I think if you're the Cleveland Browns, you almost have to pick the guy that the Rams don't pick. Now, I know there's a report out there saying that the Browns, if the Rams pick the guy that they want, they may trade down and get out the number two slot, or they may draft the best player, which could be Tunsu or Ramsey in this case. But it, just in my personal opinion, I mean, right now I have Wentz and Goff going 1 and 2 with the Rams trading up for this pick. And obviously, if you're the Rams, you don't trade up to the number one spot unless you're going to draft a quarterback. So it's definitely clear that they're going to draft a quarterback. The Rams feel like they got a running back in Gurley. They have a wide receiver in Tavon Austin, even though they would like to get another weapon on the perimeter. And they feel like they have a defense that can help bring a young quarterback along, and that's why they made the move to move up to the number one position. So we will see, you know, if they hit the jackpot on this move or not. But it's a very gutsy move on the Rams' part. And, you know, I know in our group text message I made the comment that every general manager, every head coach, this is their lying season. The off season is lying season for NFL general managers and head coaches. Nobody's telling the truth. And so, you know, all off season, I never believed Jeff Fisher when he said this, Case Keenum is our guy. Keenum is our guy. Nobody ever believed that.
Right. And you know what? One last piece of that. It really helps Connor Cook and Paxton Lynch, right? Because now that you've moved up and you guarantee pretty much that quarterbacks are going to go 1-2, now you have those other quarterback-needy teams that don't have the capital to move up. They may start to try to move up into the first round or overdraft the quarterback like your Paxton Lynch's and your Connor Cook's and maybe even your Dak Prescott's of the world that move up a little bit more because the quarterbacks have gone 1-2 now. So now you're fighting for the rest of the quarterback scrap, so to speak, as the other teams, and it may make them make, you know, bad decisions.
I tell you, a quarterback who's quietly climbing draft boards, too, people, is Cody Kessler, quarterback from USC. And this is a guy who's probably looking at a late draft choice. I think he can easily move up to a third-round grade here. It's going to be really interesting. I think he's the one that's having some very impressive workouts for a lot of teams across the league. He's a guy you want to watch on a quarterback scene in this draft, too.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, just to recap really quickly, this is just Andre talking. The Titans get the 15th overall pick, they get 2 second-round picks, they get a third-round pick, 2007 first and a third. That is a lot to give up. You have better be sure this is your guy. My question is there are certain quarterbacks that you see in college, and, you know, it's a crapshoot, but there's certain guys, you know, you saw Andrew Luck, you knew this guy is going to be a player. You saw Peyton Manning, this guy's going to be a player. Are there the same qualities from Wentz and or Goff to say this guy is a franchise guy? And I'll leave it to you, JQ. I'm just curious because you gave up a lot to give up this guy. And then if you're the Titans, their next move. So they're like saying, hey, I guess we're okay with not getting Tunsil. I guess they're going to get the best player available. So do you think one of these guys is a franchise guy, honestly?
I don't think it's as clear-cut as it was in drafts gone by. And even if you talk about when Eli Manning got traded from the first pick over to the Giants from San Diego, you know, he was somebody else that they thought was going to be a clear-cut guy, and when he got 2 Super Bowl rings, so you can't really argue with it. For me, and I could be wrong, I would if I had to make a decision, I think it would be Wentz. I just like Wentz's his build. I like his – I talk about it all the time. I like his moxie. It doesn't seem like the situation is too big for him. He doesn't panic. He's very calm and influenced. And outside of Aaron Rodgers, I just don't have a whole lot of faith in those Cal quarterbacks. And that's just me. I think Wentz maybe, but I don't think it's nearly as clear-cut as it was in years past to the point that you made.
Go ahead, Rob. Sorry. That's just me.
Well, I kind of agree with that. I have Wentz right now going number one in the Rams and Goff number two to Cleveland. And if you Wentz, I think if you're looking for Andrew Goff, Ben Roethlisberger type, he would be somewhere in that category if he's able to live up to expectations. I think he's somewhere in that realm between those two guys if he fulfills his potential. I think if you're looking at a Jared Goff, I think the closest comparison I can make to a Goff would be somewhere like a Matt Ryan from a quarterback perspective. Goff does have a little bit more experience playing against tougher competition. He's very accurate with the football. He's a little slender and built. But both of them are fairly mobile. Both of them are fairly good with their feet. But I would agree, as of now, it's kind of hard to get a gauge on who the Rams like. Hearing 50% say the Wentz, 50% saying Goff. But right now I have Wentz going number one, and I have Goff going number two. And if you're the Titans, this deal was almost a no-brainer. You drop down to 15, you know, at the number one position. You already have a quarterback who you think is going to be your quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years possibly, and Marcus Mariota. Why not get all these additional picks, fill out your roster, get some more players that can help your football team win? And they essentially got two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and two third-round picks in this trade. That's incredible. Over the next 2 years, that's going to really increase the depth of their roster. And they can get a lot of players. Your starting quarterback, Mariota, is still under his rookie contract, so he's not eating up a lot of your cap space. So this is that time when you take advantage of your roster to try to fill it out and get a lot of good players on your roster.
Amazing.
If
they
draft
10 minutes,
well.
Gentlemen. Yeah, they draft well.
You're right, if they draft well.
If they draft well. Really quick, can the Cardinals make the Super Bowl, Rob?
They definitely have the potential. You know, can they get another good year out of Carson Palmer at his age? That's going to be the big question. You look defensively, they're getting Tyrann Mathieu back. If they can stay healthy, I think they definitely legitimately have a chance. They still are pretty deep at the receiver position. They got to improve the interior of the offensive line a little bit and maybe increase their depth at the running back position. But I think they're definitely in the ballpark for winning a Super Bowl championship. I don't think I'm ready to say they will get there. I just want to say I would just say they're at least in contention at this stage again.
Your boy, JQ, Carson Palmer, go ahead, your thoughts.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, these USC quarterbacks, and I love Carson Palmer, but I'm not sure. And then what he showed me last year just went, you know, just solidified my opinion of, I don't know. There's only one thing I can argue with Rob said is that I think the running back position is pretty good. You got David Johnson, Chris Johnson, Andre Ellison. That's a pretty good 1-2-3 at the running back position. Can you get Floyd to continue to be a good complement to Larry Fitzgerald? And they play pretty good defense. It's about the quarterback, and I think Carson got his moment stolen from him when he got his knee wrecked against Pittsburgh, because what I saw this past postseason didn't inspire a whole lot of confidence that if they get back that he's going to right those wrongs.
Fair enough. Really quickly, slim down Eddie Lacy getting some praise from the Packers. He's putting down those hamburgers. Any thoughts you want to talk about this, JQ?
I just worry he's getting too small. I mean, I saw a picture of him. I said, I mean, is he trying to be a slot receiver? What is he doing? Like, I get the point that you're trying to, you know, slim down for the coaches and make a good impression. But, you know, did you not see him, like, especially when they were back at Alabama, and the picture he took with Derrick Henry? And Derrick Henry looks like he's twice the size of Eddie Lacy. And I was like, I know Derrick Henry's a big boy, but Eddie wasn't small. But I think he might have gotten too small for my liking. But I do like the fact that he took the criticism and said, hey, I'm playing for my job, and then go party and pull a Johnny Manziel and say, well, whatever, I got my contract, cut me then. Like, he took it personally, and he went out and he did something about it. I just think he might have done it a little bit too much.
Rob, go ahead, sir.
Well, we'll have to wait and see if this is going to make a big difference on his effectiveness of running the football. But obviously something had to be done because he did. His productivity dropped off last year tremendously. And so this is something that had to be done. I guess we'll have to wait and see, you know, if this has made a big difference in him getting his productivity back up.
He's gonna get hit. He's gonna start crying because he's gonna be so small. Like, you know, he's gonna.
You know, he's from down here in the New Orleans area, so I guess he's been staying away from the jambalaya and the red beans and rice and everything else down here.
He got to go back to that crawfish etouffee.
Rob Ford, five teams that must hit a home run in the draft.
Well, we just talked briefly about it. I think the Rams, obviously, number one. If you move up to that number one spot, you have to make sure this is a home run pick or it's going to really set their franchise back. I think, you know, it's one of those gambles that you probably have to make. It's a 50-50 proposition. 50% chance that they're going to hit a home run and it's going to take their franchise to the next level or it could set their franchise back 5 years if they miss on this pick. So it's a very critical pick by the Los Angeles Rams. And obviously we just talked about the Cleveland Browns too. In the very same situation,
yep.
This is a franchise that's been down for a long time. As I just apologized to your friend who said he was a Browns fan for a long time. And
okay.
But this is a franchise that have to make the correct decision here at the number two position as well to see if Hugh Jackson can turn his team around. I know our co-host JQ is rooting against him as he
yep.
has his entire life. So he's hoping that they fail on his draft pick. But they're another team that has to hit the home run. I'm going to skip down to the 49ers. They got 12 picks in this draft. They start at number
mm-hmm.
seven. I think they're in dire straits, of course, at the quarterback position and a lot of other positions. They have 12 picks in this draft. They have an opportunity to fill out their roster and to see if Chip Kelly can turn this ship around to the levels that Harbaugh had it going a few years ago. The next team we'll talk about is the Philadelphia Eagles. I think as well they have a critical decision. They did sign Sam Bradford to a 2-year deal. I think you know have to make the decision, do we want to take a chance on a quarterback at some point like a Paxton Lynch, kind of cook just in case Sam Bradford doesn't turn out as you expect him to be. And I think they got to fill out the roster with Doug Peterson kind of players too. And so they have some critical choices I think they're going to have to make in this draft. And last but not least, in my opinion, is Chicago Bears. They're another team, Jay Cutler, up and down career. You know, do you want to continue to ride with him or do you want to invest in a QB to possibly develop at some point in the first three rounds of this draft? And also, John Fox, he's been a defensive coach. He needs a ton of defensive personnel to improve that side of the football. So he's going to have to make some critical draft choices as well.
JQ.
Yeah, I would agree with most of those. Just to add a couple more logs to that fire. We talked about them earlier, the Tennessee Titans. They have six of the first 76 picks, I believe, in this draft. And they were drafting first for a reason. And you get this opportunity to get all this draft capital, whether you move up and down in the draft, but you need to nail those picks. They have multiple needs. I think the trade was a good move for them, but they have to make sure they nail those draft picks. And to touch on here, great to me and Dre more than me, the Atlanta Falcons have to nail this draft for Dan Quinn
yeah.
and for Dimitroff for them to try to sell moving to the new stadium and just moving forward to try to catch back up with the Panthers, to try to hold water with the Saints, and to try to keep the Buccaneers at bay in that division. I think the Falcons must nail this draft because they're one of those teams that got, they traded a lot of picks to get Julio Jones, and all those draft picks that they gave away came back to bite them because they didn't nail the other ones that they had to nail. I think now that you've kind of gotten a little bit away from that and you got the picks back, you got to know this draft you're talking.
I agree with you on that. Like I said, I kind of agree with what Rob said earlier as far as, the same team as Rams, Browns. I love the 49ers, Eagles. I do also kind of agree. I'm not a Cowboys fan. Cowboys, this is interesting because they're at that fourth spot. A lot of things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to go running back with Ezekiel Elliott? Are they going to go with the defensive end? Gentlemen, who's the backup quarterback for the Chargers? Do we know?
Charlie Whitehurst.
Maybe it's that. All right. So what, Rob? But I'm saying, Charter, this is a good move for them, too. What's happening with them? Is Philip Rivers kind of at his prime? What's happening with that squad, man? So they're almost like the forgotten team. I think it's kind of an interesting draft for them as well. They have to hit some things because they're on the precipice, too, because they are kind of good, but then they're kind of becoming that lukewarm team that nobody knows about. But that's my thoughts
sure.
as far as that. Let's go ahead and wrap this up, Rob. I know you got a minute or so to kind of wrap up the show, and we'll kick it to JQ to end it as well.
Great show, fellas. We got a lot in tonight talking NBA and NFL. It's probably going to be more of the same on next week, people. Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. We'll probably be, once again, more of the same. NBA playoffs, getting you ready for the NFL draft, which kicks off on next Thursday. Good night, people. You don't want to miss next week's show.
JQ.
Yeah, I don't really have anything substantive to add. I just want to tell the people that my co-host hated on me because I sent them a picture of my Ohio State Buckeyes training like a Buckeye Nike, and they got all over me about it. And, you know, I can't help it. I'm just part of the machine. If you put out some stuff like that about Ohio State on it, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to try to find a way to get it. So you get on them